the Tri-State's only local news. News Radio 800 WVHU.
Tom Rudd Morning Show, News Radio 800 WVHU, online 800WVHU.com, 7:04, Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015, and 58 degrees right now downtown Huntington. September is National Recovery Month. And, of course, substance abuse is a major problem in the United States, particularly here in the Huntington area. And despite all the strides made in combating substance abuse and all the things that have been done, and people have been praying, people have been, recovery centers have opened up and expanded and so forth, we still have a demand, and that's why the drug dealers from Detroit or Columbus or wherever they're coming from, that's why they still come here with the supply, because the demand is still here. And to discuss this and more is Dr. Keith Kander, a leading nutritionist and author of the book What Matters. He's also the founder of the NAMED program. Good morning, Dr. Kander. How are you doing, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
I appreciate it. What is the NAMED program?
Well, NAME stands for Nutritional Addiction Mitigation Eating and Drinking. So you could see why I called it NAMED program.
I see now. I got you. You had to work to get all that.
Yeah.
Right.
But what it is we work through addiction and rehabilitation centers to not only give the people that have substance abuse problems the proper nutrition, but we did something that is very unique. We're the only ones who've done it, and that's why we're able to get it patented, is we target the opiate receptors. And not to sound too scientific, but opiate receptors are clusters of proteins in our body, mostly in our brain, our spinal cord, and our gastrointestinal tract, that when they're stimulated by drugs, by alcohol, by certain foods, they release chemicals, and these chemicals give us urges. Our body interprets these urges to whatever substance that we're abusing, because that's what it's used to. So by not stimulating the opiate receptors, it helps a lot with the successful withdrawal, and it decreases the relapse rate, which is astronomical in this country.
All right. So it's Nutritional Addiction Mitigation Eating and Drinking, NAMED.
That's correct.
Okay. You got a Facebook page for that, right?
Yeah. Well, I got if you go to it's nameprogram.com. And then on that, you could go to LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and all that. And that's really under drkeithkanter.com. I just sort of lumped them together.
There you go. All right. You've been working in the area of natural food and nutrition for more than 30 years. Talk about how you can use nutrition to battle addiction and substance abuse.
Well, to go a step further, that the CDC says that 75% of all chronic disease is nutrition-related. So pretty much every disease that you could think of has a basis in nutrition, some nutrition deficiency, etc. Well, addiction is no different. Now, the initial cause of the problem, could be family problems, could be low self-esteem, depression, money problems, etc. But once it starts, then it becomes a physical addiction and it becomes a scientific problem. And that's where we come in, by not stimulating the opiate receptors for a period of a month. And that's why we only go through a facility where they're in a controlled environment. Once they leave, then I let them use my diets and menus and have a special code so they could use them after they leave, and that helps lower the relapse rate. And I let them do that for free. I'm pretty sure we're the only ones who do that also. But for the first month or so, I want them in a controlled environment where they're getting the counseling, they're getting the proper nutrition, They're getting good amino acid therapy. You know, they're getting some physical exercise because if they're proud of their body or, and they're getting their self-esteem through getting in better shape and feeling better instead of getting it through, you know, drugs or getting it through transferring it from one type of drug to the other, which is what tends to happen. You know, they can't have the drugs, so then they'll be eating all sorts of junk food, mostly like sugar or gluten and things like that, which gives them a different type of high, but it still stimulates the opiate receptors. We have to get them off of that habit and into the habit of, hey, I feel great today. I'm up to 3 miles now walking or running or whatever.
Right.
And if we could do that, that goes a long way into, once you really believe that, you know, your body is a temple, you don't want to put, you know, poison in it.
You know, we have here in this area, tri-state of West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky, some of the largest percentage of substance abuse anywhere in the country. Heroin is, we've had so many heroin overdose deaths this year. It's just unbelievable. And we have the largest number of drug-addicted born babies of any place in the United States. They're born right here at Cal Huntington Hospital, Huntington, West Virginia. This is an epidemic. I
Oh
mean,
yeah,
our
this.
family members, our neighbors, our coworkers, they're dying.
There's over 20 million people that are addicted to something in the United States.
Yeah.
And the relapse rate or the successful recovery rate, depending on which statistics you read, is only about 13%. So, you know, it's a revolving door and they keep coming back. So, number one, we have to make the success rate much, much higher and make the relapse rate much, much lower. And then, you know, give them other reasons not to want to do things like that to their body.
It's sad. It really is. How many lives have been ruined? Talk a little bit about, and not everybody gets this way because of this, but sometimes we're too quick to put children on some type of prescription medication, and so they get used to, Dr. Cantor, they get used to being on some type of drug at a very early age. And sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it may be an overreaction. And then when they get to be an adult, they just naturally continue to have an addiction to some type of medication. Do you see that to be true?
Oh, definitely. ADHD. First of all, I'm 60 years old. I'm going to be 61. I never, when I was a kid, we never heard of anybody on ADHD. And I used to bounce around the room. I was one of those kids who rocked back and forth on his chair and drove the teacher crazy. I definitely would have been on some type of medicine. But you want to know something? If you control the diet of the children that have, quote, ADHD, you know, basically just eliminated the sugar and the dyes and the prepared type processed items, you'd eliminate 50% of it. But then again, who gets paid if you do that?
Right. That's exactly right. And then you've got people to no fault of their own, Dr. Cantor. They've been in an accident, maybe a work-related situation, or what have you. Maybe they had surgery. And so they're put on pain medication to help them through that, but then, you know, they get used to it and they can't get away from it. They start abusing it somehow and they become addicted to it. And now you have people who were once pillars in the community, doctors, lawyers, preachers, who are now addicted to some type of substance, and they'll do anything to continue that habit.
That's right. That's prescription drugs, and that's probably the single biggest one now is prescription drug abuse. Even though heroin went up about 400% in the last few years because the price went down so much, I'm still pretty sure prescription drug abuse is the number one abused drug in the United States. And when you do take that, you have to be careful and you have to wean yourself off of it. I'll tell you a quick story. I had back surgery. This was years ago, and you had this pump that you press it with your thumb and it gives you morphine. Well, I didn't
Right.
want to take any morphine. So the nurse came in 3 or 4 times and she said, "Is your pump broken?" I said, "No." She goes, "Well, you didn't take any morphine." I said, "I don't want morphine." She said, "Does your back hurt?" And I said, "Yes." She goes, well, then you're supposed to take the morphine. I said, then how do I know if it hurts or not? And the only morphine I took was before I went to sleep. I hit it twice. You have to wait 10 seconds, I think, is the way it works. They were very upset with me that I wouldn't take the morphine. But how I wanted to see how I was really doing.
Yeah.
And so they push it on you because it's a lot less trouble. It's sort of like what we did with TVs with the children. We shoved them in front of the TVs, which turn into the PlayStations and everything else, to babysit.
Yeah.
And now we complain that that's what they want to do all the day. Well, that's what happened with a lot of the medicine and stuff. It keeps the patients a lot calmer and quieter when they're doped up.
Yeah. So as you were talking about Dr. Kanter, and we're talking with Dr. Keith Kanter, founder of the NAME program, a leading nutritionist and author of the book What Matters, you mentioned that over 90% of people who complete a recovery program relapse.
Well, it's not over. It depends where you are. I was speaking with Indianapolis yesterday or the day before, a radio station, and the person who ran the radio station happened to be the head probation officer for the area. In Indianapolis, it's over 90% relapse or less than a 10% success rate. Most of the figures I've heard are in the 13 to 14% rate. The VA actually has one of the higher rates in the 13 to 14% rate. That means they're off the drug and they don't go back on it for, and again, it depends who statistics use, between a year and 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and that's good. But, you know, nutrition can certainly help.
Oh, hugely.
In that.
Well, you have to remember, this is what's really happening. We put the people in these addiction and rehabilitation centers. They don't have availability of the drug, but we keep stimulating their opiate receptors. So we're transferring the addiction. So they may not be having heroin now or cocaine or the prescription drug, but they quadrupled the amount of caffeine that they take, or they quadrupled the amount of gluten or sugar. So their opiate receptors are still releasing those chemicals that are telling us to have more of this. So when the person leaves the controlled environment, unless the psychiatrist, the psychologist really got to the root of the problem, they leave, their opiate receptors are still stimulated, they go back to the same friends and the same environment and say, you know what, you know, this gluten or this sugar's fine, but that cocaine was actually a lot more fun. And they just go back to it because we kept the thing stimulated. So that's why I'm such a strong believer in not stimulating the opiate receptors for at least a 30-day, 28 to 30-day period of time before you let them leave. And then I let them stay on the diet afterwards.
Right, right. Okay, I see. I hate to do this to you. I want to switch topics just a second. Just I got to get your opinion on this because you write about and you talk about nutrition. And we are, though September is National Recovery Month, and that's why I had you on to talk about, this is also the month where everybody goes to flu shot mania. And this is where everybody in the media, but me, is telling everybody in the world to get a flu shot. And we know the great success the flu shot had last season, which was basically about 10% or less. How can people better protect themselves from the flu with nutrition?
Well, first of all, I'm not against the flu shots. I don't believe the science I read made me believe that it doesn't cause autism, which is the main complaint that people have against getting the different vaccines. The problem is that we have to try to guess which types of flu it is a year in advance because it takes so long to make it. So if you eat nutritiously all the time, and, you know, you have the right amount of good, clean proteins, half a plate of vegetables and fruits, healthy fats, complex carbohydrates. You drink enough water, one half of your body weight in ounces per day. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you're drinking 75 ounces of water. You take a good multivitamin, maybe some fish oil, you know, to complement, and you work out on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
That'll keep your immune system strong and reduce the chances of you getting sick in general.
Right. So, I mean, you're not, and that's good. That's a good perspective. You're not against flu shots. You're not against getting vaccines, but you're saying the better alternative, because we see the bad success, practically no success last year with the flu shot, flu vaccine. The better alternative is to eat healthier and to take better care of yourself, and you're more likely not to get sick.
If you stay in very good shape, the chances of you getting sick are much lower than if you're not in good shape. Now, if you do both, and it's not like last year, but the year before where it had over a 70% success rate, then you're really in good shape, especially if you're older or for children. But the best way to stay healthy in general is to eat properly, take the right supplementation, drink enough water, and exercise on a regular basis. And that'll do more than shots and pills in general will do.
Right, right. You've probably been criticized for talking like that.
Well, but I try to walk the fine line. I'm not against the vaccines. I don't believe it causes autism. I'm just saying that if you could do both, that's better. But if you're working out, you know, like I said, I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61. I work out every day. I eat pretty well. You know, and I'm not saying I'm viceless, but I won't say on the radio what my vices are. But, you know, I'm pretty healthy, and I don't get sick that often. You know, I'll get a sore throat once a year or something like that, and that's it. So, and I haven't even had one for the last few years, knock wood.
Yeah.
So I was pretty lucky. But, yeah, that's what people forget. That old expression, you are what you eat, is so true. And now with the foods being having less nutrients than they used to because of not rotating the crops and other things, and then, of course, GMO and all the other topics you could get into, it's more and more important to eat healthy and to work out on a regular basis. And you don't have to work out with massive weights or anything like that. You just have to keep your body moving.
Yeah. Are you? What is your thought about GMO labeling?
I think the way that they have it now is unfair. Because the way they're doing it now is, if you want to make the claim that you're not using GMO, they make you go through jumps through all sorts of hoops, and it's very expensive. If you use the GMO, then it doesn't cost you anything, and you could put it in all different ways where people don't understand it.
Right.
So I don't think it's fair. I think the burden should be on the people who are using genetically modified organisms, and that's, like I said, a whole different topic, because 98% of them don't matter. And we're lumping everything together with, you know, if you've ever eaten yellow corn, that's, I don't care if it's organic or not, that's genetically modified, because corn wasn't yellow when it started. Do you remember Indian corn when we were little kids?
Yeah.
They'd bring it into class. That was corn. And through selective breeding, we bred it because we liked the yellow color and it was sweeter. So most of the GMO isn't a problem. It's the super high-tech gene splicing, electron microscope type GMO that you're talking about, which is a very small percentage of it. But for that percentage, for those, that bothers me. Or we don't have enough research on that percentage, and that bothers me.
And consumers ought to have a right to know, and an easy way of being able to see if their foods have been genetically modified.
Yes, but again, and I didn't know if you wanted to talk about this, if you've ever had a seedless grapes or seedless watermelon, that's genetically modified.
Right, right.
And people are buying it, quote, organic, so they think then it's not genetically modified. So it depends what type. If it's just normal modification through selective breeding, which now they could do in a petri dish, that doesn't bother me. It's when they're doing it so high tech and they're taking something from one species to another species, you know, to make it hardier, to make it so it's more drought resistant or pest resistant, that's a little scary, and I don't think we have enough testing on that. But that's only a small percentage of the GMO.
Right. And has that been is that illegal in a lot of other countries?
There's some countries that don't allow it, But only the real fancy high-tech GMO, not the selective breeding. That's what's done. Don't you remember when we were kids in school, there was Dr. Mendel, we used to make something that looked like a tic-tac-toe board, and they would put letters down, and you could tell through a recessive gene or a dominant gene if the kid was going to have blue eyes or brown eyes. You remember that?
Yes.
That's the initial GMO. I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Then we started getting higher and higher tech and taking something from a fish and putting it into a plant. Now I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, right. Mixing of seed.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Cantor, we could talk about a lot of different subjects because you're very diverse in what you can talk about, so I appreciate you coming on. Again, September, National Recovery Month. And I want you to check out, you just go to Dr. Cantor's Facebook or Twitter. Or,
just go to Named Program, N-A-M-E-D, program.com. Everything's free there for them to look at it. The only cost is when a facility uses it, and they have a license fee. But they could see everything they want there. They could even get a free week's worth of menus. You know, to try it out and see what we're talking about. It's just good, wholesome food, and there's a lot of great information. Or they could go to my website, which is DR for Doctor, Keith Cantor, KeithKantor.com. And that not only mentions the name, but it also has the nutritional facts on how other diseases are related to nutrition, and it has the top 20 or so diseases under resources, and all of that is free.
There you go. All right, check it out on the web. Dr. Cantor, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, appreciate it. 7:25, back in a moment. This is the time.